let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Moana, 118,000-mile odyssey to the world's most remote places by Lou Maurer, is the story of the sea, a young family, and a dream. Through the eyes of the captain comes the story of Moana, when two loving parents are unafraid to take their children on an adventure that will shape them forever. They find beauty and drama at the far reaches of the earth. This is a real story of real people in faraway lands. Endless challenges of open ocean cruising, terrible weather, disease, hostile governments, strange cultures, and frightening situations are experienced. Growing up on fishing boats, Lou Maurer has spent his entire life on the water, repairing, building, and operating commercial and pleasure vessels all over the world. His depth of knowledge and experience gave him the ability to build and captain Moana, a very special long-range power catamaran. His love affair with the sea is tangible, as he describes in authentic detail his 15-year odyssey to the most remote places on the planet. And he's with us on the program, Lou Maurer, the boat captain, explorer, and author of Moana, 118,000-mile odyssey to the world's most remote places. Lou, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
This is such a fascinating story, and what a book. And let's go right back to the beginning of this. I think it was, 1998, when you're in a law office, at, I believe in San Diego, and suddenly this whole thing is presented to you. Talk about that and introduce the couple that made all of this possible for you and their family.
Well, the couple that had the dream, Michelle and Martine, are European, and they contracted to have a boat built in San Diego. Shortly after the project had been started, it collapsed. The lawyers that I referenced in the book called me and my company, and I wound up organizing my men, and we built the boat in San Diego, and it was everything we ever wanted it to be, proven by all those miles without any major problems.
I mean, it's just remarkable, and the book goes into it in great detail, and we'll talk about some of the adventures along the way, but the beginning of this is fascinating. Here is a gentleman that's got a ton of money, but he really wants a real-life experience, doesn't he, for his family. He timed it for school vacations, no fancy hotels or yacht clubs. He really built it around the children and what they could experience, didn't he?
Yes, he's a real family man through and through, and he wanted to take his kids away from the ever predominantly electronic age into really simple people with really wonderful lifestyles and values, and he wanted his children to see that because he knew it would shape their character in the coming years.
What were your thoughts when you were presented this project, what he wanted to do, where he wanted to go, your challenges in building a boat that would do this for him? What were your initial thoughts? Did you feel this was something that, okay, I would like to do this, or did you feel this was going to be a challenge?
Actually, I knew when I saw the design and the specifications, I knew exactly what this man wanted to do. Having run boats in similar operations. But the problem for me was I had a thriving surveying and consulting business at the time, and to build this boat would have taken me out of that business for over a year and a half, during which time I would have lost contact with all of the brokers and boat yards and all of that I did business with. So it was a real difficult decision for me to take on this project. But after meeting the man, he was just a great guy. We had a fantastic rapport immediately. And I wanted to do it simply to, in the beginning, I just wanted to build this fantastic boat.
You know, it's interesting because you did not think in the beginning, I'm going to write this book. Talk about when you decided, you know, I've got something here. This is a story that I need to share with people.
That is such a great question. About 2 years into operating the boat, I could see where it was going to go. I could see that this was a story that needed to be told. We were going to do some remarkable things, and it would make a great book. And so I started seriously thinking about it. But it wasn't until I met a professional author, a very famous author in the Solomon Islands, just by chance. He encouraged me and, in fact, became my mentor and really helped me over the years to write this book.
And the book is called Moana, 118,000-mile odyssey to the world's most remote places by Lou Maurer, our guest on the program. That's M-A-U-R-E-R. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. Website is CompassRosePressUSA.com. And, of course, if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly, get information on the boat. It's interesting, you talk about that maiden voyage, and sometimes maiden voyages don't go quite as you think they're going to. Talk about that. I think what Panama was the destination for that. What were your thoughts on that initial voyage?
Well, yeah, as everybody knows, Titanic had a pretty dastardly maiden yes. voyage, and our voyage was actually longer than hers. But I knew that by the time we finished Moana, I knew that it really was a special boat, and I really had every confidence in the world that we wouldn't have any problems. And indeed, we made that transit with no problems whatsoever.
Talk about the book. The book is what, part adventure, part memoir, part travel, part growing up a young family and seeing the world. This really checks a lot of boxes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It makes it an interesting book for those very reasons. It's a combination of all those elements. And it's told through my eyes as I saw it, as the story unfolded. And because it's through my eyes, it's truly authentic. It's a book of real nonfiction. There's everything in there that you could imagine could, because when you think of the miles we went enough mileage to go around the world five times.
That's amazing.
So it's easy to imagine that a lot of things can happen in that period of time, which was 15 years. And some of those things were not always good.
Well, yeah, and let's talk about that. There were times when you saw there were problems, I'm sure, fearing for your safety. You've got governments that are unstable. You're not sure what's going to happen. You have problems at sea. It sounds like there were plenty of those times when it's like, okay, maybe we need to get out of here as quickly as we can.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of those. In our going, we had a military man off of Cuba who told us to raise our anchor and follow him into port because the boat was now the property of the Republic, and me and my crew were all going to go to jail. So it's pretty interesting to hear in the book how I got out of that one.
Yes, one of the many fascinating stories in the book, Moana, 118,000-mile odyssey to the world's most remote places. This, you mentioned, was a 15-year odyssey. Did you have any idea when you started off, when you made that maiden voyage to Panama, that this would go 118,000 miles and take 15 years?
No, my engineer and I, who were very, very close, we had no idea. What's interesting about that is that as the years went by, it became such a part of our life. It became such a wonderful kind of life that we were actually really stunned when it actually had to end. We just never thought that the adventures would end.
Talk about the family, the children, the impact on them. I mean, these are kids, literally, you saw them grow up. It's extended family on your part, I would think.
Well, yes, that was one of the more interesting things for me, was to see how the adventures and their relationships with native peoples affected them. Imagine yourself as a 10-year-old boy, and a canoe comes out full of like-aged young boys, and they invite you to paddle off to their village in their canoe. And this was the kind of stuff that would happen quite often. The kids would paddle off with some native kids, go to their village, spend the day there, and see what their lives were really like. And that clash of cultures, if you want to call it that, was really interesting for the crew and I to observe. It had a very positive effect on the kids.
And you get a feel for that with all the great pictures and the text in Lou's book, Moana, 118,000 Mile Odyssey to the World's Most Remote Places. Book available, of course, for wherever books are sold. Go to our website. We'll link you on to that. Traveling like that with weather changes, and weather changes can happen in a situation like that quite rapidly. How difficult was that? Were you able to stay ahead with I assume you had, you know, satellites and all the latest radar at the time. How difficult was the weather?
Well, the weather situation is not nearly as difficult as you might think because of the advent of these really sophisticated weather forecasting companies. We had the best in the world keeping an eye out for us all the time. But even so, there's times when things happened. For example, we were caught in a cyclone in New Caledonia when the cyclone changed course and came right over the top of us.
How do you prepare for something like that? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, you do your best, but mostly you're just scared when you see boats being destroyed on the beach,
oh,
you know,
yes,
pushed up on the rocks and all of that stuff. You know, I've done this for all my life, and there are certain things that you do in preparation for a situation like that that does make the difference. And then even when you're caught, what you then respond with based on your experience really makes a difference.
You visited a number of primitive places, and I guess that's what the family wanted to do, was not experience all the tourist attractions and, like I said, the fancy hotels, that type of thing, but really get in some of the remote primitive places. How was that? Were there any problems, any dealing with natives?
No, we only had one time where the natives were openly hostile. But most of the time, the natives are actually in those faraway places. They're very shy and very friendly, and they're very curious. Most of the time, we had no trouble at all. In fact, we really enjoyed our interaction with them because they typically would want to trade. They'd bring out some vegetables or something like that, and they would want to trade it. And so We carried quite a store of clothes and school supplies and food and fishing gear and stuff so that we could trade with the natives and gain their friendship and enjoy learning more about their culture.
You did a lot of fishing and diving, of course, during this odyssey. Any encounters with sharks?
Yes, we swam with sharks all the time. In fact, sometimes very large sharks. But people who do that, as we did, know that sharks are really not dangerous unless you do something to invite danger,
yes,
such as spear a fish. That changes the rules immediately. As soon as you spear a fish, if there's large sharks around, they'll come immediately, and then you're confronted with a new situation.
With us on the program is Lou Maurer, the author of the book Moana, 118,000 Mile Odyssey to the World's Most Remote Places. What were some of those, some of the most remote places? Are they even on a map?
Yeah, they are. If you find an old map, some of the places we went to, they don't even have names. You know, the islands don't have names, so there's nothing on the chart. The island is on the chart, but there's no name. Usually those places were uninhabited. Some of the places, you know, they had natives living there and stuff. But most of the places that we really wanted to see and visit were places that you'll never hear about them. You can Google them nowadays and find out about them. But these were places that were very rarely visited by any other boats.
You talk in the book about Moana being no ordinary boat. Talk a little bit about the boat and what went into building this magnificent boat that took you 118,000 miles.
Well, first of all, to cross oceans as we did, you have to have a boat that has tremendous range. That's the distance you can travel safely. And with the catamaran design that we had, the boat is so easily driven through the water. It takes very, very little horsepower to push the boat through the water. And horsepower is fuel. So that gave us tremendous range. We could cross any ocean in the world without any problem. The other really big thing that we had, a feature of the boat, was the propellers and rudders were above the plane of the bottom of the boat. So we could enter these really shallow reef passages to get into lagoons for anchoring and stuff, where no other boat would ever dare go near that kind of an entrance.
When you were building the boat, were there other boats out there that you looked to that were somewhat similar that you could adapt to what you were going to do, or was this one pretty much your creation?
Well, the boat was actually designed by three people, a consortium of people down in New Zealand, and they had a really great idea for a lot of the stuff. But the systems and the equipment and all of that stuff were all done by myself and my company, based on my experience for years and years and years of traveling to Central America, Mexico, and then all the way up to Alaska. I really understood what we needed this boat to do, and I incorporated those features into the boat.
With us on the program, Lou Maurer. He's the author of Moana, 118,000-mile odyssey to the world's most remote places. The book's available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. We'll be back more with Lou after these messages you're listening to This Week in America. Welcome back to today's program. With us, Lou Maurer. He's the author of Moana, 118,000-mile odyssey to the world's most remote places. Talking about this remarkable journey, let's talk about some of the beautiful places you saw. And I'm not going to ask you the most beautiful because that would be too difficult over 15 years at 118,000 miles. But some of those that really come to mind, I mean, as you're reading, untouched islands, snow white beaches, you saw a lot of what the best that nature has to offer, didn't you?
We certainly did. We really, really did. We saw places that were just defined paradise, absolutely defined. We walked on beaches where I doubt many human footprints ever fell on that sand. We went to places where the animals, the birds and the animals there had never seen humans. So it was an outstanding adventure from that standpoint. But after visiting many of these places, at one point in our adventure, the owner told his children, "Look, I want you to vote for the next place." And they overwhelmingly voted for the atolls of Sorol and Mulu in Micronesia. And that was that kind of brings us to the favorite place question. I have a list of favorites of my own. But when the kids all voted for that, it really showed the basic consensus of the most beautiful the two of the most beautiful places we ever visited.
What was it like with the children? Four, I believe, the ages 7 to 17. You had to get to know them well. They got to know you well. It was a family as you were traveling. Talk about what obviously is a special bond between all of you.
Oh, it was great. You know, they were good kids right from the very beginning, and watching them grow up and how they were affected by our activities on the boat, their emerging respect for the crew and the boat and what we did was so noticeable and so heartwarming, you know. The kids, because the parents were very adventurous, extremely adventurous, in fact, the kids grew up that way and went on in modern times now to be very successful in business.
What did this trip mean for you? It was designed for the children to give them a chance to see the real world out there. What impact did it have on you?
Oh, gosh, it was just... it was a captain's dream come true. Every captain dreams of operating a boat to beautiful places where the fishing and the diving and the adventuring is pristine. It's places no one else had ever been to before, where it's a dream.
So how difficult is it now to find a place to visit? You want to take a little time off, travel a little bit. Where do you go now? How do you top that? Probably don't even try to do that, do you? You just go back and read the book again.
Exactly. No, I don't try to top it. Believe me, I pinch myself sometimes. Honestly, I look back at it and I really think sometimes, wow, did we really do that? And yes, we did.
Well, you know, in writing the book almost is like doing it again, isn't it? I mean, you experienced it and then you had to go back and recall and go through pictures and go through it again. It's almost like you took the trip two times.
Oh, that's so true. Multiple times.
Yes.
Because I had a database that when I first started out, it looked like the book was going to be 1,300 pages long. I had so much data there, it was difficult to pare it down. But yes, you're absolutely correct. It was like doing the trip over and over and over again as I wrote the book.
It's just amazing as you go through the book and you realize all of these primitive cultures out there, the unstable governments, the weather, the fishing, everything in this majestic world out there that Lou's able to document in the book, Moana, 118,000 Mile Odyssey to the World's Most Remote Places. I understand your dream now is to write a children's book. How's that coming?
Oh, that's a great question. I have a children's book that is going to be a blockbuster. It is a wonderful, wonderful story. I first wrote it 20 years ago, and I set it aside and didn't do anything with it. But now I know exactly how I'm going to do it, and it's going to be a wonderful book.
Looking forward to that. And people are going to be, I tell you what, they're going to read Moana, 118,000 Mile Odyssey to the World's Most Remote Places, and maybe not take off 118,000 miles or do 15 years, but do some traveling on their own. If someone has the finances and the time to be able to do that, I'm sure you would encourage them to even certainly much smaller trips, but see what's out there to experience.
Oh, that's so true. It's a big world out there. When you consider it, when you leave San Diego, you run for 12 days and 12 nights before you get to the Marquesas. That Pacific Ocean is huge. And out there in that ocean are all these little specks on the pages of a world atlas, places that just take your breath away with their beauty.
And you were the captain of the ship, and you saw those, and you look out, and you would see nothing. Then you would see these islands. It had to be just a remarkable journey. And it's all documented by Lou in his book, Moana, 118,000 Mile Odyssey to the World's Most Remote Places. Books available at Amazon. Compass Rose Press USA is a website to get some information. CompassRosePressUSA.com. You can link on directly to get information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Lou, it's an excellent book. Great job. Thank you for being with us on the program. We'll stay in touch and we'll talk about the children's book as well. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you so much. I had a nice time with you.
It was a lot of fun. I'm glad that you were with us on the program to share the story of Moana. The book is available wherever books are sold. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.